Welcome back to another episode of the Junk Bond Podcast with your host, James St. John Smythe. That's right, I had to remind you who I am. You probably forgot about me. Probably forgot about this show. It's been a while. It's been a long time. I don't really have much of an excuse as to why I haven't recorded in a while. Nothing interesting, at least. A baby doesn't help things. I got a little one-year-old right now. But mostly I'm just lazy. Yeah, I'm not going to blame my little boy. He's not here to defend himself. Mostly just me, but hey, I am back. And today we'll be discussing GoldenEye, the resort. I just went there recently. If you haven't been listening to this podcast for the last 3 years, I've been talking about this trip that I had coming up to GoldenEye. And we're going to talk about Ian Fleming as well. So sit back, relax, enjoy a bonus episode where we just shoot the shit, you know? What am I drinking today? It's February right now, so I'm kind of, you know the routine by now. I'm kind of cleaning up my act. Holidays are done. It's a tequila soda with a lime. It's not that great. It's not fun. It's better than a vodka soda. Tequila soda with a lime. I do, sometimes I do a little splash of simple syrup in there just to kind of make it like a kind of a limeade, kind of a watered down limeade. That's not bad. But, you know, whatever. It's fine, I guess. If you got to pick a healthy drink, pick this over the vodka soda. I've made my thoughts clear on the vodka soda. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. We're not friends. I don't send them a Christmas card. We don't. When we see each other, we walk past each other, no eye contact. I don't like that vodka soda. I don't trust it. I've described it as it's like drinking. It tastes like when your arm falls asleep. It sucks. Don't drink it. So there's our cocktail minute. It's not the best, but hey, fun drinks in the future though. So GoldenEye. That's right. Finally went there. I was supposed to record an episode over there, but I just didn't want to. I never felt myself thinking, oh, let me go take an hour off and go in the room and record an episode. I was having too good a time. So yeah, I'll give you a little synopsis of our trip, just a quick one. We got there on a Wednesday. They give you a complimentary cocktail. I just skipped that first cocktail, went straight to the second one. I drank the first one so fast, it made everyone's head spin. And I put on my party shirt. It was kind of drizzling a little bit, so the weather wasn't great when we got there. And I just started wandering around the property, and we had a nice dinner that night. But the next morning was Global James Bond Day. And I woke up at like 5-something, much to my wife's chagrin. And I took my bottle of water and my novel, Dr. No. I was reading a book while I was there. That's the one that's set in Jamaica. And I just went for a long, like, hour and a half walk around the grounds. I was searching everything. I went to Button Beach. I went to the pool. I went to everywhere. No one was even there yet, so I had the whole resort to myself. I'd stop for a few minutes here and there and read 5 pages when the view was nice. I kayaked to Fleming's house. But I think someone was... I got the sense that someone was staying there. And I didn't want to go fuck with them. Last thing you want to do is, when you're spending, I don't know, 20 grand a night on that house, is to walk down to your private beach with a cup of coffee to enjoy the setting, and you see some asshole like me roll up in a kayak. I mean, celebrities stay there. Will Smith has stayed there. I mean, you know what he would do to me if he saw me? You've seen what he does to people when the cameras are rolling. Imagine when the cameras aren't rolling. I mean, he cracked my head open on Fleming's Rock like it was a fucking coconut. I don't need that on vacation. Yeah, you know, I got a kid now to think about. I can't be getting in fights with Will Smith. So I just kayaked away. I still don't know if anyone was staying there. And they don't give tours of that house anymore. So I didn't really get to go. But, you know, that's okay. But speaking of my walk, I did walk past Fleming's house, which is so surreal to see in person. It was so surreal to be back there. I've talked about it nonstop since we got back from our honeymoon in 2020. I checked out all the trees. I mean, there's cameras all around that resort. They must have been thinking, what is this guy a terrorist? He's like looking under buildings and like opening doors and like staring at our office for 5 minutes. Like, what is he doing? Something might not be right with this guy. But I did. I tried to drink in everything I could and just search the whole grounds the entire time I was there. By the time I got back to the beach hut that we were staying at, my wife was getting up and I kind of enjoyed our view for a while she got dressed, and we had breakfast and just hung out by the pool before everybody else because we're early risers. My wife went to the spa every day. I would just kind of wait for her to get back. I'd meet her halfway back. And I just rotated between Button Beach and the main pool and the Goldeneye pool and the beach, and it was just fantastic. I'd usually start my day with a pina colada for some reason. I discovered the Rum Ting. It's like a grapefruit soda or something like that. It was excellent with rum. I drank a lot of Goldeneyes, a lot of pina coladas. I think if I had 50 drinks, I think 47 of them were rum. That's how much rum I drank. And then on James Bond Day, that night, I saw on the little itinerary, there's a showing of Dr. No that night. I was like, you got to be shitting me. So my wife was getting ready that night for dinner, and I thought that it was like in this little game room, like with it's like the only TV on the resort. So I went to go sit like in one of our favorite spots, and I see the whole staff like setting up tables. It's called Playscape. It's like overlooking the sea. I was like, there's no way they're going to screen the movie right here. And sure enough, they set up this big screen projector. They set up a bar out there, all these tables with white tablecloths. And sure enough, like we sat out there and watched Dr. No with 50 other people. It was amazing. My wife and I kept looking at each other like, is this a joke? Is this for real? This is incredible. Of course, I'm such a nut that like I could never watch the movie for too long. I just kept watching everyone else watch the movie to make sure they were enjoying it, which they did. I wasn't annoying at all, just staring at other people the whole time. But yeah, that's kind of the synopsis of what we did every day at GoldenEye. That place is just, there's something special about that place. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I couldn't recommend it more. I went snorkeling a little bit, the Chabin, you know, it's just all these different places. It was just fantastic. I think my favorite spot is probably Button Beach, the bar. It's called the Bamboo Bar. It's very tiny. I wish it was like a little bit bigger. There was some sort of covering. But I would just sit at the end of that little bar and turn my back to the bar and just kind of look out at the water and watch everyone like swimming and stuff. It was like the most little peaceful place at the resort. I actually finished my book in that little spot. You talk about chatty Cathy. I was chatting up every employee. I was talking to about anything and everything. I was chatting up all the people that were over there just searching for Bond fans. I could not find any. Apparently there was some Bond fan convention or whatever coming like the day we left, but I saw a group and I don't know. I didn't even know how to approach them. But there was like one guy that mentioned something about Roger Moore and how he read some of the books so he was kind of talking about how he was a fan. And of course I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, which one who do you like? Who's your favorite Bond? And what's your favorite pre-titles? And what's your least favorite Bond song? And he's like, Jesus, man, you fucking hyena. Get away from me. Foaming at the mouth. So that's as far as I got to talk with any other travelers about James Bond. I was wanting to though, man. I would have gone out to dinner with somebody and just had a chat about James Bond the whole time. Again, much to my wife's chagrin, but that's a risk I was willing to take. You know, I'll get in a fight with her later, but I want to talk about Bond right now. But I never got to do that. So yeah, GoldenEye. Obviously, I can't recommend it enough. It's my favorite place. I'm turning 40 in 2 years, and before we went there, I was like, I'm probably not going to want to go back for my 40th because, like, I'll probably get my fill in, and I won't feel the need to go back. But after having gone back, I'm like, yeah, we're going back for my 40th. There's no question. And I don't even think it's because of the James Bond thing. I mean, I'm sure that has something to do, a little bit to do with it, but it's not big on James Bond over there. If you weren't a fan, you would never know that the books were written there. There's pictures of Fleming and stuff like in the lobby, and then in the restaurant that comes off the lobby, there's like pictures of Honey Rider and James Bond. But other than that, there's nothing. Nothing in the rooms, nothing in the pool, the bar, no James Bond, anything. So it's not like heavy on James Bond. So if you're not a fan, that's okay. So if you're looking for a place to go with your significant other, couldn't recommend it more. It is kind of expensive, but they have deals going all the time. Don't just completely nix the idea because like the top of the line is villas, then cottages, then huts. We stayed in a villa for our honeymoon. This time we stayed in a hut. And there's like busy seasons and dead seasons. We went in a dead season, so the price was even lower. And then they were running a deal on the hut for like 4 nights for the price of 3. So my room, full disclosure, was like less than $500 a night. And that's doable. Whenever I think of like high-end resorts, I'm thinking like, I don't know, $1,000 a night? I don't know. That's a lot of money. So less than $500 a night, I'm like, oh, well, shit. I can handle that. And if you kind of want to do it on the cheap, like you don't have to go to the spa. They gave us a fifth of Blackwell rum for the room. So I'd like every other drink, I would just go back to the room and make my own drink with pineapple juice or ting. So don't just assume that it's way out of your price range. Look it up. Check out the rates. September, October, November is the dead season. The beach huts, it's like the layout of a hotel room. Just the views aren't as good. But there are like two or three huts with a great view. I got the best view. It's Hut 45. It's the whole sea. But the other ones are just like of palm trees and stuff. But if you call ahead early enough, you might be able to get that one. Anyway, go check out GoldenEye. It's the greatest place ever. And that's all I have to say about that. Moving on to Fleming. Do you like stories? Do you like Ian Fleming stuff? Hey, first of all, we'll take a little break for the Bond news. Well, I told you not to ask me about Bond, so I'm not even going to talk about James Bond news because there is none. You know what it's like right now as a fan? It feels like around the time when they delayed No Time to Die again, like for the last time, and the fans were just like, okay, whatever. Like, we just stopped caring. That's kind of how I feel about Bond 26. Because everyone was up in arms those first couple of interviews with Barbara Broccoli about how they haven't even started, like, production or any, like, looking, nothing. They haven't even started talking about anything. Everyone was pissed. And now it's like no one even cares. Like, whatever. I guess we'll just see y'all in 5 years when you decide just, like, pick up a fucking pen. So there is no news. There is some news. I cover the Rocky movies from time to time on this one. Carl Weathers died yesterday, which is just god-awful. That was really a bummer, man. I did not see that coming. One of the guys in the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, in case you forgot about them, too, they met Carl Weathers like a month or two ago. Said he was like in great shape and good spirits and all this stuff. It's weird, man. He's 76, like in great shape. I wonder what happened. But yeah, that's a bummer. So rest in peace, Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed. We love you. We'll be thinking about you. I'll have a drink for you tonight. So Ian Fleming. So I started reading this book about the history of Fleming and the GoldenEye property. And I'm so stupid that, like, I had to write notes as I was reading it because I couldn't, like, follow because I'm borderline developmentally disabled. So as I was taking notes, I was like, well, shit, why don't I just do an episode about Ian Fleming? So here we are. So I guess when Ian Fleming was little, his dad died in the war, World War I, and he was about to be expelled from school. So his mom took him out and sent him to a school to prepare for the military. And fun fact about that time, he missed an entire term or a semester, whatever the hell it is, because he caught gonorrhea from a prostitute. Been there. You know how much time off of school, the sixth grade, I had to take off because I had a nasty bout with gonorrhea from a dirty, dirty prostitute in my town? So, hey, I feel for you, Ian. 12-year-old sentence might's been there. So his mom sent him to the Austrian office after the gonorrhea subsided. And then to Geneva and Munich, and he got accepted to the foreign office. And he failed some sort of test. I'm not sure what it was. So he went to work for Reuters. And he also worked as a stockbroker, and he was just terrible at it. And he was recruited by the intelligence department in the Navy when World War II broke out. So that's kind of how this story begins. He was assistant to the director of the intelligence department. Said he couldn't have had a more interesting time in the war. He traveled everywhere. His brother and girlfriend died in the war. I guess that's not as interesting. I wonder if the actual soldiers on the ground found the war interesting. I think they would use a different word for the war than interesting. So he met Anne O'Neill before the war, and she was married. And they were like, fuck it, let's just start having an affair at age 20. And then when Anne's husband was killed, Fleming didn't propose to her, as she expected. So she got married to the proprietor of the Daily Mail. But they just kept fucking anyway. They kept their affair going. Let's keep those coals hot, you know what I mean? That's what they said. And she was a big, like, socialite. She threw sexy parties. That was her job. And Fleming started going to Jamaica around this time. He went with Ivar Bryce during the war. And Ivar didn't think that Fleming even liked the property. And then as they were leaving, he remembers him saying, I'm going to come back here if the war ever ends. And I'm going to live here and I'm going to write books. So that's kind of his goal this whole time. And he wanted a property that must have cliffs of some sort. I guess in case I drink too much and I want to kill myself, I need a good cliff, like very close. Because I tend to do some drinking. More on that later. The guy does some drinking. So that Ivar Bryce guy found the property from a realtor. It was 14 acres. It was formerly a donkey racetrack. I would have liked to see that, donkey racing. And he started playing the house and started like reading up on the area's history. And he got there in 1946, I guess right after the war. And he started building the house. The realtor was the same guy that did the construction of it. He insisted on no glass in the windows for whatever reason. And I'm sure a lot of you guys know that GoldenEye was the name of a wartime operation for the defense of Gibraltar if Spain ever entered the war. That was Ian Fleming's name for this operation, which never came to fruition. So he named the house GoldenEye instead. And Ora Cabeza, where it is, also means golden head, which is also what Fleming ordered from that prostitute that he got gonorrhea from. "How much for some golden head?" he said. And the house was completed in December 1946. And the next month, him and Ivar Bryce and some friend named Strangways, Doctor No, anybody? Stayed there for the first time and got fucking shit hammered. And they swam naked in the morning, as you do with your best male friends. You know, I've got a lot of guy friends in my life, always have. When I was a kid, now that I'm an adult, I've never swam naked with them just because. Especially not, like, in the morning when we're sober. It'd be one thing if everyone's hammered and everyone just jumps into a big body of water naked. I'm just not doing that. I mean, I guess the 40s were an interesting time, but, that's not something I'm doing. I mean, St. John's might as comfortable with his sexuality as the next fella. But I'm not hanging dong in a body of water with my best bud. I'm just not doing that. Sorry. Find someone else, man. Go celebrate your strength with someone else. And here's a little fun fact. One day, he saw a huge house on a hill and knocked on the door. Why you would do that? Who the fuck just... Oh, that's a nice house. Let me just come knock on the door. But anyway, there was this old couple that he met, and they served him a Vesper. Not the Vesper we know today, but it was called the Vesper. They said it was served every day at 6, which I love that. And it was a mix of frozen rum, fruit, and herbs. And he went home to try to recreate it with his bros, but to no avail. So in 1947, Fleming got a job at the Sunday Times as a foreign news manager, whatever the fuck that is, and was granted 2 months leave every year to spend in Jamaica. So that worked out well. And right around that time, they opened the Sunset Lodge in Jamaica. That was tourism basically started booming in Jamaica around that time. Errol Flynn moved there, and him and Fleming were like the big partiers on the island. He traveled back to England in 1947, and we're just banging out with Anne in front of everyone. I mean, just couldn't have had an affair more out in the open if they wanted to. So, like, every one of their friends just saw them doing this. They literally had sex in front of people. And they'd fight constantly, and, like, they said they would, like, it would kind of, they'd get off on the fighting. Bunch of goddamn psychos. Like, later on, they met in Dublin, and she wrote him later on saying, "I love being whipped by you. I love being hurt by you," and kissed afterwards. Now, this is, this is First Ballot Hall of Fame psychos. Just a couple of crazies. And she came to the GoldenEye for the first time in 1948, January. And she hated it. Bugs everywhere, just depressed. Which, honestly, it doesn't sound that glamorous in the early days. Fleming's mom had come before and had to check into a hotel. It was so terrible. And said there was no furniture there. Like, dude, buy a bed. A goddamn couch. A chair, perhaps. You don't want any furniture in this house? That reminds me, my old co-host, Peter Frank, he was kind of chit-chatting with this less than desirable woman. And she was we'll just call her trashy. Just trashy, and he would, like, go back to her apartment. And it was just terrible, he said. And there was no furniture and everything. And one night, she was like, "I'm trying to think, should I buy a BMW or a Mercedes? What do you think?" And Peter Frank just goes, "Bitch, buy a bed." It was like an air mattress they were on. So that's the same advice I would have for Ian Fleming. Maybe buy a bed, man. A couch, a table, a chair. Just start there. So anyway, Anne's visit to GoldenEye. She felt better the next morning when she swam by herself. But Fleming got apparently furious that she didn't wait for him to show her around. Like, they're just coming up with ways to just get mad at each other. She came with her sister, who also hated it. The floor was painted navy and cleaned with oranges and finished with boot polish. Whose idea was that? How stupid were they in the 40s? Honest to God. And bugs would just come in all night, obviously, because it's like citrus and oranges. They're like attracted to this stuff. Boot polish, I mean, everything's just covered in black. See, around this time, he started accumulating all these books about fish and birds and wildlife and everything, among them Birds of the West Indies by James Bond, which just sounds so boring. Just bird watching in general. Like, I mean, talk about nothing to do. He would just go out and, like, look for birds. And like, ooh, I think that's a speckled belly. Fuck it. Let's just go start drinking. That's kind of how every bird watching session would go with Fleming. So Anne went back home after that. Fleming stayed for a few more weeks. And when he got back to London, she said, hey, bro, guess what? I caught the pregnant. She described it as a sad condition. A sorry state. So she ended up losing the baby. There's a nice little cheer-up boost for you. Miscarriages. But you didn't think I'd bring up miscarriages in this episode, did you? Now we're talking about dead babies. Anyway, so Fleming wanted to find a rich American to rent Goldeneye. And he ended up finding Noel Coward to rent there. So he ended up being the first guest of Goldeneye. And he ended up staying 2 months and bought 2 tracts of land and started building himself close to Goldeneye. And again, this was like when the tourism was getting big and like it was all celebrities going there. And it was just completely fucking hog wild when they get there, apparently. Like, no rules. You know, like, you know the whole, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Like, Jamaica minute. Like, you can do, and I mean anything here, and we don't care. Just give us money. Keep our economy booming. And when Anne went back to New York in 1950, her husband sent her a letter saying, can you stop banging that dude, or I'm going to divorce you. It's kind of getting to be a bit much. So she just got more discreet for, like, you know, 3 months. And then just did it right in front of his face again. And around this time, Fleming, who was 40, starts experiencing kidney issues, tightness in his chest. Dude, the guy would drink 70 cigarettes a day and a quarter bottle of gin. I don't know what a bottle is. I guess that's like a handle. Or like a quart of gin a day. And the doctor recommended, you know, hey, bud, why don't we think about cutting back on the cigarettes and the drinking? And he just ignored them. That's good. I'm just going to live in Jamaica where the fresh air will offset the poison. That's my 1940s logic. So Fleming started exploring the reef, hunting barracuda. I'm shocked he wasn't killed. Hunting barracuda? That just sounds very dangerous. So by early 1952, Anne had finally divorced and she was pregnant again. So they ended up getting married. And after 6 years of being in Jamaica, exploring, meeting people, drinking the island fucking dry, he finally set out to write a book. I'm sure someone was like, hey, weren't you supposed to write a book here? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I've been drinking myself silly for 6 years, so I'm gonna start today. So he started writing Casino Royale, had their son Casper that year in August, or it was 52, and Anne had to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks after that. She was old and just a drug addict, too, and the doctor was basically like, don't have babies again. You don't do that again. So the book was published in April that year. 4,700 copies. It sold out in a month. The second and third print also sold out. So the publisher offered Fleming a deal for 3 more books. So there you go. So next up was Live and Let Die, 1953. So Fleming left Casper with the nanny while they went to Jamaica for a few months. A few months they left the baby, their newborn. Now I can finally relate to this since I have a 1-year-old. That is insanity. Just, we're going to Jamaica for months. We're just going to leave him with the nanny. Okay. And he stopped in New York and Florida to do research before going to Jamaica for Bond's first Jamaican novel. And then the following year, 1954-55, he did Moonraker and Diamonds Are Forever. His marriage was on the rocks. Shocker! Anne was like this big socialite. Ian's not. You could just tell by his face. That guy's not a socialite. And every weekend they would go visit Casper, who lived full-time with his nanny. I don't understand that. You would just go visit your son on the weekends, like your 2-year-old. So they went back to Jamaica and they fucking left Casper again. This time they had a poet stay there who had like some of the best descriptions of Goldeneye that era. Peter Quinnell. He first of all noticed how insane Fleming was about his routines and how furious he got one morning when he walked past his bedroom to go for a swim. He just got like in Fleming's sight. In Fleming's view of the water and was like, you motherfucker, don't ever walk past my bedroom. And by this time, after Diamonds Are Forever, he was kind of getting tired of Bond. And the books, you know, they were selling, but like he wasn't getting all the fame that he wanted. and of course hated all the books. She just made fun of him all the time and would make fun of him to her friends and shit. It's a supportive wife, huh? And the next year he wrote From Russia with Love, which is the one where he almost kills Bond. So you can tell he's kind of getting tired of him. At this point, I think Jamaica's kind of getting close to independence. Fleming, again, didn't want Casper to come to Jamaica again, and Anne wanted him to come, so she decided to stay behind and go to rehab. So, you know, Fleming's like, boy, I can finally get some work done without that nagging wife, right? Boy, if that doesn't sum them up in a sentence, Fleming said, fuck it, I want to go to Jamaica, but without our kid again, so let's leave him home for months. And Anne was like, well, I'm going to stay in London with him, and I'm going to go to rehab too. It's like, good Lord, y'all are just, something ain't right with y'all, man. One of his letters he wrote to her, because I guess he was like feeling bad about her not coming. It said, it belongs to you and you're stupid not to come here. You must get rid of your fear of things. Your fears of things are as bad as my fears of people. And then in parentheses, he wrote, fifth gin and tonic and good night, my love. Just, I'm out. I can't write anymore. I'm hammered. And then she wrote back to him, I have thought of the bean soup, the clucking bird, your typewriter, and the drunken Scrabble. Now that's a night with your wife, huh? Just getting fuck hammered and playing Scrabble together. Imagine just playing drunk Scrabble with your wife. That's your big evening.
Yeah, I'm going to write the word avocado on it, but I can't spell it.
So he decided Casper can finally come next year. I don't know, what is Casper, six at this point? He can come next year, and he built him a rock pool, which still exists. I think I saw it when I was there the first time in 2020, and I didn't know that was Casper's little pool. That's kind of sweet, right? There's one good thing he did as a dad. Built him a rock pool. I'm sure that was real comfortable to sit in. And that year, Fleming met Blanche Blackwell, who was Chris Blackwell's mother. Apparently, like, her dad had died, and her mom needed help running the business or whatever, so her and Chris moved from England to Jamaica. And when Fleming went back to England that year, he checked into the same hospital or whatever again. And the doctor recommended things like, I don't know, cut back on all this shit. And Fleming just wouldn't do it. He cut back to 50 cigarettes. Just making huge sacrifices. And he switched to bourbon, because I guess that's more healthy than gin. Around this time, Anne started having an affair when Fleming got back to England. That's good. Fleming was already having an affair with someone in her 20s. Jesus Christ. I'll see your affair and I'll raise you. Found me a girl in her 20s. I guess Fleming was like in his 40s at this point and looked like he was 68 years old. And this is the part where after the Suez Crisis, Anthony Eden stayed at Goldeneye. That's kind of cool. Oh, the Brits. Big crisis at work. You go to Jamaica for a month. So that kind of put Goldeneye on the map, made it a little famous. You know, they cleaned the place up for him, you know, emptied out all the shit buckets and put actual chairs in the house. First day he got there and they didn't have lunch for him. But it's kind of said that Britain's collapse kind of made Bond more popular, kind of made them long for the good old days. So his next book was Dr. No, 1957. Fleming got there early that year and took the boat out with Casper and her other son one day, and the nanny got sick. So Anne had to actually, like, take care of the kids. And she wrote that she was on Dramamine and gin the entire trip. So I guess that rehab's really paying off at this point. So Blanche Blackwell and Fleming started fucking around this time, as you do. No rules, they just have sex with whoever they want to, married or not, doesn't matter. So the previous year, 56, Fleming had sold the TV rights for Casino Royale to CBS. Yeah, Card Sense Jimmy, you remember that? And this year he sold the film rights to Casino Royale, but nothing ever came of it. And the next couple years he did Goldfinger, For Your Eyes Only, and Thunderball. Thunderball is when we come into a little bit of trouble. So Fleming was by himself at Goldeneye in 58, since his marriage was just shit. Anne went back to rehab, you know, just for a little tune-up. Goldfinger was a bestseller. Apparently Anne came to Goldeneye and it was, like, super awkward with Blanche being there. Shocker. I don't know why she was even there at the house. This is so weird. And then the following year, in 1959, Anne came to Goldeneye with her lover. I'll see your awkward situation and I'll raise you one. So then Ivar Bryce, who now is one of the villains of this story, because he introduced Fleming to Kevin McClory that year, who wanted to make a Bond film from an original underwater story. So they worked on the plot with screenwriter Jack Whittingham and Fleming's American friend Ernie Quaino. First time I've heard that name. I've never heard him brought up in any of this stuff. So that caused all kind of problems, as we know, and more on that later. So around this time, one of Fleming's friends knew the Kennedys, and she introduced Casino Royale to JFK. And JFK's wife, Jacqueline, introduced From Russia with Love to the head of the CIA, Then they started exchanging bond books and stuff. That same friend invited Fleming to dinner one night with the senator while he was in D.C. So Fleming started sending all of his books to JFK. Couldn't hurt, right? And then that year, like in 1961 or something, Kennedy listed his top 10 books, and number 9 was From Russia with Love. So that's when the bond boom began in America, the literary bond in America. So all of a sudden, he was the best-selling thriller writer in America. So next year, 61, 62, health is starting to decline a good bit. Shocker. Breathlessness, blood pressure, liver. Is he even 50 at this point? He's probably like 50 years old? God damn, he's young. I think what I read was every single day, this is confirmed by the staff, around 1 o'clock, you know, he'd be typing on his typewriter. You hear click, 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 click. And then all of a sudden, it would kind of stop, and he'd kind of, a couple more clicks. You'd hear him, like, sigh a couple times. Click, click, click. And then all of a sudden, he would just announce, ah, fuck it, let's get hammered. Bring me some rum. Well, Commander Fleming, I know you don't like whiskey, but that's fine. Just give it, I don't care. Just give me anything. Just give it to me. And he would just drink the whole fifth. And that's just what he did every day. Every day. Sunday to Sunday. So on his return to England that year, he was being sued by Kevin McClory. That's no good. Then he had a heart attack. That's no good. And while recovering, he wrote a children's story for Casper, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. All right, so there's two good things he did for his son. Wrote a nice book for him and made him a rock pool. And after that, he wasn't the same. He was just all, well, I don't know what. His heart just wasn't working properly, so. And obviously, you know, he knows more than his doctor, so he ignored all of his doctor's advice to stop drinking and smoking. He wrote on Her Majesty's Secret Service that year. That was his most successful book to date. So where the films come in, Harry Saltzman bought a 6-month option in 1960 to film the Bond movies. Toward the end of the option, he teamed up with Cubby to film Dr. No. So Fleming like sat in on a bunch of meetings with Connery and all that. Connery called him a real snob and good company for a limited time. He visited the set a couple times, hung out with Ursula Andress mostly, shocker. And by the time the film was released, Jamaica was independent. The film broke British box office records, did okay in the United States, and they sold like 1.5 million books within 7 months of the release. Like in 1961, the books had sold 670,000 copies. By 1963, it was 4.5 million. Like that's how big those books got after the movies came out. So these next couple years, these last couple years, 63 to 64, you know, him and Anne's relationship was worse than ever. He went to Goldeneye, I guess without her. Anne lost her sister to alcoholism. Her brother was ill. Her lover was on his deathbed, but couldn't see him because she didn't want to upset his wife. So that's nice of her. And he died. So Fleming's doctor, meanwhile, told me he has 5 years to live because you're living like a fucking fiend. So he and Anne kept fighting constantly. What is there to fight about at this point? Y'all have been fighting for like 15 years. How do you keep those pots boiling constantly? You don't get tired of fighting? His health kept getting worse, so he decided, I'm just going to drink more and maybe like get all the, just like wash everything out. But it didn't work. He started getting like blood clots in his lungs, which is never good. Died on his son's birthday, 1964, after collapsing after lunch, which I'm sure consisted of fucking gin and eggs. So, Fleming.
Hey, Gown.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer that he died on Casper's birthday. And speaking of a freaking bummer, if you don't want to cry, fast forward a little bit, because Casper was like a wreck after that, depressed, started doing drugs, he inherited everything, Goldeneye, all the Bond books, everything, at 21 years old, tried to kill himself at Goldeneye long after that, in and out of institutions and everything, and killed himself in 1975. So that's like really fucking horrible. And then Anne stopped drinking, finally, and she died of cancer in 1981. That's just a bad end to all this stuff. So yeah, I mean, after Fleming died, they filmed Live and Let Die in Jamaica, and Roger Moore visited Goldeneye. After Casper died, Goldeneye came on the market. I think, I'm kind of confused by the timeline here. I think Chris Blackwell convinced Bob Marley to buy it. He didn't have the cash, and he knew Bob Marley had the cash because he just wrote him a bonus check. And I think Bob Marley had it for a while and then sold it to Chris when Chris had the money. And like barely ever used it. He would just kind of entertain friends here and there. He would rent it out here and there. And then he sold his company, Island Records, and started investing in hotels and eventually bought more property around Goldeneye and then started building houses, and eventually we have GoldenEye as it is today. Ah, full circle there. You see how I did that? So yeah, there it is. There's Fleming's life. Kind of a sad thing. Interesting guy. A fucking wreck, man. But, you know, he gave us something that we still talk about 70 years later. So God bless Ian Fleming. Maybe lay off the cigarettes a little bit. Maybe keep the booze into the weekends. I don't know. I'm not your doctor. If I was your doctor, you for damn sure wouldn't listen to me. So, yeah, if you are looking for a place to go with your significant other, a special occasion kind of trip, a big birthday, a big anniversary, at least just go to GoldenEye's website. Look into it. Follow them on Instagram. If you have any questions, I would be tickled pink to answer all of them. I could talk about GoldenEye all day, every day. I've tried to with my wife, and she's not having any of it. You know, she thought it would stop whenever we came back. It has not. I'm still talking about it. So yeah, go check it out. It's a wonderful place. Even if you're not a James Bond fan, which why would you be listening to this if you're not? But check it out. And next time, you know, I got grand goals, man. I got 4 Bond movies left. Spectre, Skyfall, Octopussy, View to a Kill. I'm going to try to do those this year and then maybe revisit the Rocky movies, 1 through 4. That was what I did with Peter Frank, so maybe I'll do those solo. And yeah, that's about it. Next time, maybe Octopussy, I think. Or Skyfall, one of the two. All right, see you next time.